and they continue together, coming at last to the ancient town of Vanity, where a great fair is held. Here, the two pilgrims are accused of being troublemakers and are brought before the courts.
Silence! Silence! The Supreme Court of Lord Beelzebub, His Honor Judge Hategood presiding.
Read the indictment.
It is charged that these men, Christian and faithful, common pilgrims passing through Vanity Fair, are enemies of our good citizens, having disturbed the trade done by our merchants, and having corrupted hitherto law-abiding townsfolk to an acceptance of their dangerous beliefs. In contempt for the laws of this town and of our great, high, and noble ruler, Prince Beelzebub.
How do you plead to these most heinous charges?
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Well, we shall see. Is the jury sworn in?
Yes, my lord.
Then let them declare their names before the court.
My lord. Jurors!
Mr. Closed Mind.
Mr. No Good.
Miss Malice.
Mr. Live Loose.
Mistress Lovelust.
Mrs. Headstrong.
Mr. High Mind.
Madam Enmity.
Mr. Liar.
Squire Hate Light.
Miss Inflexible.
Oh, Christian and faithful miserable defendants, how do you answer the charges that you are disturbers of the peace?
We made no disturbance, for we are men of peace.
Silence!
And any who chose to follow us were won over to our views because they understood the truth of which we spoke. Any change in them is for the better, not the worse.
We have only opposed those who opposed the Prince of Princes, who is the highest of the high. And as for your Prince Beelzebub, we defy him because he is the enemy of our Lord, the Lord of the Hill.
Silence! Are there witnesses to these men's offences?
Yes, my lord.
Then let them take the stand.
My lord. Citizen Envy! Give your evidence.
Envy, my lord. I wish you to advise the court that I have known the man who calls himself faithful for a long time.
That is not
Silence.
True!
Continue.
He has no respect for Prince Beelzebub. He has nothing but contempt for the laws and customs of our town.
Anything else?
Yes, my lord. I heard him say that it is impossible to be a follower of his so-called Prince of Princes and to do business or even live in Vanity Fair.
If that is not true, if it is possible to believe in the Lord of the Hill and, at the same time, to live and work under the authority of Beelzebub, show me the error of my ways, and I will take back the remark.
You seem to have forgotten that it is you who was on trial. Next witness.
Citizeness Buttertongue.
What do you know about this man, Faithful?
My good and wise Lord Hategood, and you honest members of the jury, this fellow I too have known for a long time. And I have heard him speak with what I can only describe as contempt. Not only of our most noble ruler, Prince Beelzebub, but also of his honorable friends.
Against whom has he spoken?
So many I can hardly recall them all. The Lord Carnal Pleasures for one. The Lady Luxurious for another. Oh, yes. And the Lords Lechery and Greedy. Also, although I am not sure whether I ought to refer to it...
Give your evidence, ma'am.
I have heard this man speak with great contempt of your lordship and of the court over which you preside. What was it now that he called you? Ah, yes, yes, I remember now. An ungodly villain!
So, Faithful, you stand charged with the most iniquitous of crimes.
Be careful, Faithful.
Yes, I have heard them. May I speak a few words in my own defense?
You deserve nothing better than to be put to death upon the instant. But, to show how merciful we are, let us hear what you have to say.
I will say only this. The lord of this town, the Prince Beelzebub, as you know him, and all the rest of the rabble of attendants whom Buttertongue named, are more fit to live in hell than in Vanity Fair or anywhere else in this country.
Is that all?
Yes. And may the Lord have mercy upon me.
You do right to call upon his mercy, for you can hope to find none here. Members of the jury, you see before you these men who have caused so much dissent and uproar in our town. Yeah. As for the one who calls himself Christian, it is our judgment that he be sent back to prison to serve a term there before being escorted to the borders of our town, beaten, as befits so low a criminal, and set upon his way under pain of death, never to return.
Yeah!
Away with him!
No! No! Faithful and I stand together! No! Wait! Wait!
Farewell, good Christian. Godspeed.
Now we turn our attention to this other man, Faithful, so called. Yeah. Members of the jury, it is your solemn duty to decide whether this man is to live or die. How say you?
Die. 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 Die.
So, watched by Christian from the barred window of his prison cell, Faithful is dragged from the court into the market square. Here, they chain him to a stake, heap bundles of wood around his feet, and set them on fire.
I place my trust in my master and friend, the great prince who is the lord of the hill.
Faithful! Faithful!
I commit my soul into the keeping of the one true king who is ruler of the celestial city, in whose realm I pray that I shall find safe passage. Amen.
And now I see, appearing behind the crowd, a chariot and a couple of horses waiting for Faithful. And at the very moment of Faithful's death, he is taken into the chariot and carried up, up, up through the clouds and away, away to where the gates of the celestial city swing open wide.
Sing, Faithful, sing, and let thy name survive, for though they killed you, yet you are alive.
Eventually, when Christian has served his term in prison, he is escorted from the town of Vanity Fair and, beaten, blooded, but unbowed, sets out upon his way once more.
Christian! Christian! Wait! Wait for me!
Hopeful?
Yes, I want to come with you on your pilgrimage, if you'll let me go with you.
It's not for me to allow. It's your journey as much as it's mine. But yes, I would welcome a companion on the road. Since the death of my good friend Faithful, I...
Well, my hopefulness may not be as great as his faithfulness, but it was because of him that I found the courage to take this road, and I'll travel with you until we reach our destination or for as long as we're allowed to journey onward.
Well said. Because Faithful held to what was true, he was consumed by fire. But like that mythical bird of old, the phoenix, you have risen out of his ashes.
Hope! That's the thing, my dear. Never lose hope. Lose that and you lose everything. Hey, Bunyan, your wife's here to see you, man.
Elizabeth!
John!
I'll not lock the door on you. I reckon I can trust you after all this time. A year is a mighty long while to be in prison on account of your religion. Mind you, I don't claim to understand much about religion myself,
So long as I don't meddle in God's affairs, he don't meddle in mine.
You really should show the Lord a little more respect, my friend.
Yes, yes, yes. Always trying to save my soul.
There isn't a soul that's not worth saving.
Some more than others, I dare say.
Oh, my dear. It's been so long.
Forgive me, John.
2 weeks or more without a visit. Every day when my dear blind Mary comes with my food, I ask where you are and why you haven't come.
I've been busy.
Huh? I see.
I've been trying my best to secure your release, but I didn't want to build up your hopes. I began by petitioning the justices, telling them that you'd been wrongly accused, but they dismissed my appeal.
Well, that's hardly to be wondered at.
He is convicted and it is recorded, they said. If that's so, I said, then it is false. So just as Twiston asked, putting on a show of surprise, what are you saying? That your husband's willing to leave off preaching? If so, then send for him.
You know that I won't agree to their terms.
To which I said, my lord, he dare not leave preaching as long as he can speak.
I'm sorry I doubt it.
Anyway, I told them you only wanted to live peaceably and follow your calling so as to support your family. I've got 4 small children, I told them, that I cannot help myself, of whom one is blind. You're a young woman, they said, to have 4 children. My lords, I replied, I'm only their stepmother, though I was myself with child when my husband was first arrested, but soon after it was born, it died. And I added, not to demean you, John, but because it's God's honest truth, and we have nothing to live upon but the charity of good people.
Elizabeth.
What? I shouldn't have said that. I think they ought to know what hardships they've inflicted upon you and your family. Anyway, Justice Twiston was unmoved and said she makes a cloak of her poverty. As I hear it, Bunyan earned a better living by preaching than by following his own occupation.
Well, it's never earned me a penny. But it's true I could have had no better living.
I appeal to them. He preaches nothing but the word of God, I said. The word of God, shouted Twiston, and I thought he was going to strike me. His is the doctrine of the devil. And they sent me away.
Oh, my dear. I'm sorry you were abused for your pains.
But I didn't give up. I went to London.
London?
To the House of Lords. There I saw Lord Barkwood and presented my petition, and he showed it to some of the others, and when they'd seen it... Yeah. They said that they would commit your release to the judges at the next assizes.
You are a wonder and a treasure, my dear.
So, there's hope again.
Yes, yes, there is. Oh, and how it refreshes the soul. Like drinking deep from the water of life.
Hopeful, come and drink.
Oh, that is good.
Oh, for some reason, I suddenly feel less weary. What a beautiful place. The river, the green fields on either bank.
So many trees, all laden with fruit. At least we shan't go hungry for a while.
Oh, I feel tired, but pleasantly so. And it feels as if it's permitted for us to rest here a while.
You're right. And that meadow, filled with lilies, I can smell the fragrance from here. Shaded by those great trees would be a perfect place to rest.
We're fortunate that this idyllic spot has been provided for our refreshment by the Prince of Princes, for I seem to know that this place is his.
Here, in fields that are green all year round, the pilgrims lie down in safety and take their rest. When they awake, they gather fruit from the trees, drink from the river, and set out once more upon their journey. But they've not gone far before the river winds away in a different direction from the road they have to follow.
What a rough road! Rocks and stones and pitfalls. Oh, I wish we could continue along the river path.
So hard on the feet.
Oh, look! Over there, Hopeful, on the other side of that fence. A path running alongside this one and through meadow grass rather than this rocky road.
Supposing it takes us off the beaten track and we get lost?
I'll just jump over this stile and take a look.
Oh, yes. As I thought, this path's much easier.
But, Christian...
Hurry up.
There's a signpost, Christian.
Come on over.
But it says Bypath Meadow.
Look, we can see the footpath we were on from this one. It's perfectly safe and far more pleasant.
Oh, very well. But we must be careful.
Oh, there's someone else on the path. We'll make sure this is the right way. Hello, good sir.
Yes? Can I help you? Yeah,
we're two pilgrims, a hopeful and Christian.
Oh, how do you do, my friends? I'm false confidence.
Can you tell us where this path leads?
Well, that depends on where you're going.
The Celestial City.
Ah, the Celestial City. If you carry straight on, I'm sure this path will take you right to its golden gates.
Didn't I tell you?
And you are sure?
Of course. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must be getting along. Oh, it's almost night. Goodbye.
He's right. It is getting dark.
Then let's hurry. We've wasted far too much time already.
I can't see a thing.
We must keep on going.
I know we've left the path.
Well, how can you be so sure? Oh, what was that?
Christian, we're lost. Well, aren't we? If only I'd kept to what I knew was the right road.
Who could have known that this path would take us out of our way?
I knew! I was afraid of going this way from the start. I told you, but you wouldn't listen. I should have insisted. What a fool I am.
Hopeful, my good friend. I am sorry. Please forgive me. If you can.
Yes. Yes, I forgive you. And who could tell? Perhaps some good will come from this mistake of ours.
I am lucky to have you for a companion. But what are we to do? Turn back? Try to reach the stile again? Oh, we're not going to make it. We'll be washed away and drowned.
Over there, see? A small hillock with trees on top. We can shelter there and hope that the storm dies out before the water gets that high. There. Now, let's rest and try and sleep until it's morning and we can see where we are and where to go. Christian!
What is it?
Get up on your feet!
Christian, it's a giant!
Where are we?
In my fields, trespassing! Trampling over my crops! Lying on my ground!
We're sorry, sir. We didn't know this was your land.
So you say. I know trespassers when I come across them. Who and what are you, then?
Oh, we are pilgrims. I am Christian. This is Hopeful. We're on our way to the Celestial City.
The Celestial City? The way to that place doesn't cross my lands. Never has, never will. You're up to some mischief. Skulking and spying, sneaking and prying.
We weren't doing anything of the sort, sir.
We don't even know who you are.
What? Not know who I am? Well, I'll tell you, my little grubs. I am Despair. That is my name. Giant Despair.
What are you going to do with us?
I shall generously extend to you the hospitality of my home.
Your home?
Yes! It's called Doubting Castle. Now, get up! Come on! Up! It's only a short stretch for a giant, but a wearisome long way for such short-legged insects. Up!
But good sir!
Now! March! 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 Down there!
What's to happen to us now?
You'll find out that when I'm good and ready. Now, please, make yourselves at home in what's the deepest, darkest, dankest dungeon in Doubting Castle.
Well, Despair, what are you going to do with those prisoners?
I'm undecided, my dear. Undecided.
Why? Trespassing, were they?
Yes, well, if they were.
Wretched little pilgrims scuttling off to the Celestial City and across our lands.
I know, my own one.
Yes. And I know what I'd do with them.
What would that be, my doll?
In the morning, take your great crab tree cudgel and beat them without mercy.
Yes. Yes, I will. Without mercy.
Good. After all, that is the price of accommodation in Doubting Castle.
Doubts. Do you never have any doubts, neighbour Bunyan?
Doubts may assail us all, Mr. Cobb, but we must not permit them house room in the soul.
As always, you're generous with your spiritual guidance. Now, I'm told you are under the misguided impression that your case is to be reheard by the courts.
My wife was advised that it would be by a member of the House of Lords.
Oh, I'm sure their lordships have far more important matters to consider.
More important than the administration of justice? As a clerk of the peace, you cannot believe that.
Your case will not be heard again for the very good reason that your case has been heard.
The jailer told me it was set down in the calendar.
Well, we'll see about that. Jailer! Jailer, bring me the court calendar. You've been told that you will only gain your freedom if you stop calling together and addressing meetings. But you won't agree to do that. Therefore, it would only prove a waste of the court's time to further deliberate upon your case.
Mr. Cobb?
Neighbour Bunyan is hoping that his case is due to be reheard by the court.
Oh, so it is, Mr. Cobb. Set down in the calendar for the next assizes with leave from the High Sheriff.
Let me see. Well, this is a false calendar. This information is incorrect.
Your pardon, sir, it is not. This is the calendar that we use...
I tell you, this calendar has been falsified. And the falsification shall be blotted out, now. And I shall use the prisoner's pen with which to do it.
Mr. Cobb.
Sir.
There. There is no prisoner of the name of Bunyan on the calendar for the next assizes. Nor will there be at any time in the future.
Then how long must I be kept here?
Until you agree to cease preaching your seditious beliefs. Or until the Lord God Almighty calls you from your deathbed to stand before his judgment seat. Death! That's all you've got to look forward to!
Please! No!
You'll never escape this dungeon.
No! We beg you!
You'll be beaten down by despair until I've crushed every bone in your puny little bodies.
Please, let us go, sir.
We'll never trespass on your lands again.
Indeed you won't. Here, use this rope. Hang yourselves and save yourselves more needless suffering. Why choose to live when life is filled with so much pain and bitterness?
Well, Hopeful, what should we do? This existence is miserable. I honestly don't know whether it's worth going on living like this, or whether it wouldn't be better to do as he says and hang ourselves.
I too would almost welcome death more than the prospect of even one more day of life in this grim place. Mm-hmm. But we should remember that the lord of the country we're going to made the decree, thou shalt do no murder. Surely that doesn't just mean murdering one another, but also taking our own life. After all, if I were to kill you, I'd only be destroying your body. I kill myself, and I destroy my body and soul.
What then? We endure this suffering till we starve to death or die from the wounds and injuries giant despair inflicts on us.
But whatever happens, we mustn't allow despair to drive us to become our own murderers.
I do not have your faith and conviction.
Have you forgotten the hardship and terror you have experienced on your journey?
No.
Why are you now reduced to nothing but fear? Listen, I've been wounded, same as you. I'm as hungry and thirsty as you are. I've not had the same experience of life that you've had, nor travelled a road as long and hard as you. But I'm determined, if at all possible, that we should escape from the grip of despair.
Well, aren't you coming to bed, Despair?
I'm thinking, my dear, about those wretched prisoners.
Oh, do you mean to say that they haven't done away with themselves?
No. Not yet, my dear.
What?
Well, they're sturdy rogues, my treasure. Willing to suffer all hardships rather than take their own lives. It's almost as if they're hoping to escape.
Escape? Escape! Supposing they find some way out?
No.
You can't trust these pilgrims. The merest chance or the tiniest chink of hope, they'll find and use it. Mark my words, Despair. If you don't finish them off, you're going to go down there one morning and find that cell door standing wide open.
Oh. Open? Open? What is the meaning of this? Why is this prisoner's cell door standing wide open?
Mr. Cobb.
So he can walk free, I suppose.
I've no intention of trying to escape.
Your intentions are irrelevant. You are a prisoner, Bunyan. That's why you're in this place. A cell in a jail with a door that locks from the outside.
I can explain, Mr. Cobb.
Well, please do. I'm most intrigued.
Well, Bunyan's been a prisoner here for more years now than any of us care to count. He's never caused any trouble. In fact, he's always done everything he can to help others in this place. Reading or writing for them that can. Praying with the sick.
And preaching his seditious gospel at every opportunity, I dare say.
I can assure you, Mr. Cobb.
And I can assure you, Bunyan, that I will tolerate this no longer. You may have chosen to flout the law when you enjoyed your freedom, but you will not do so here.
But, sir...
And I can assure you, jailer, that if you fail to keep this prisoner under lock and key, you will lose your job and find yourself occupying the next cell. Now, lock it.
You can put as many locks as you wish on this door. You can bar and bolt it if you like. But you'll only ever imprison my body, because my spirit is free. My soul unfettered. I have the Lord's promise of salvation, and that key unlocks every door to the very gates of death and beyond.
Christian. I've remembered something. Something that, in our despair, we've stupidly forgotten.
Oh, it's useless. There's nothing but despair.
There's the promise. The promise we both believed in when we set out on this journey. It's the key to our escape, and it's somewhere here. Even here, in the deepest, darkest dungeon of Doubting Castle. We must find it. Come on, Christian. Help me.
Don't give them even one more day. Kill them tonight.
Tonight? I've just got into bed.
Then get up. Get dressed. And get down there!
Well, can I kill them tomorrow? First thing?
No. Kill them now.
Oh, it's not here.
It must be. Keep looking. We haven't tried the other corner. Let's try there.
Oh, it's too dark. I can't see.
Feel. Feel.
There's nothing. Oh, wait. Here's something. It's a loose stone. It's shifting. Oh, no. There's something inside. Oh, I can't reach it. Oh, I think I've got it. Yes.
The key.
The promise.
Come on. Hurry.
Hurry, despair. We must destroy any hope.
I'm coming, my love.
Quick, this way. I'm coming.
Did you hear that?
Well, they've got away.
I knew it. I told you. Get after them!
No. Let them go. There'll be others.
Having escaped from Doubting Castle, Christian and Hopeful find their way back to the stile and go on with their journey. At last, they come to the Delectable Mountains and make their way up one of the mountainsides through gardens, orchards, and vineyards, and among sparkling fountains from which they drink deep draughts of cool, refreshing water. At the top, they meet with the shepherds who tend their sheep on the mountains.
Hello! Travellers! Where are you heading?
The Celestial City.
We're pilgrims.
I am Christian, and this is Hopeful.
My name is Knowledge, and these men are my brother shepherds, experienced and sincere.
Hello! Where are you from, pilgrims?
I come from Vanity Fair, and Christian is from the City of Destruction.
Oh, it's a wonder that you've come so far. All too few set out upon that road travel long enough to reach this place.
Why is that?
A little way below these mountains, there's a stile that leads into a meadow. Bypath Meadow, it's called. Surely you must have passed it on your way here.
Yes, we saw the stile.
Because the way is rough, some pilgrims decide to leave the road when they reach that stile and go instead across the meadow, where they are captured by Giant Despair and thrown into his stronghold, Doubting Castle, from which few, if any, ever escape.
Christian, Hopeful, this story has affected you, bringing you, as it seems, to the point of tears.
Yes. Well, that danger is past. Look upon these mountains. This is known as Emmanuel's land. For you are now within sight of his city.
Are they his sheep that you look after?
They are. And he paid dearly for them.
Have we much farther to go to the Celestial City?
It is as far or as near as it's your dedication to get there.
And is the way ahead safe or dangerous?
It is safe for those who follow it safely.
Oh, come. We are commanded by the Lord of the Hill to offer hospitality to travellers on the road to his city. Stay with us a while and enjoy rest and relaxation. And tomorrow, my brothers and I will show you some wonders.
Oh, you can see for miles from here.
What's that steep hill over there? The one that rises to such a precipitous drop?
That, pilgrims, is the Hill Error.
Many have climbed that hill, convinced that they've gained some new wisdom or understanding and thinking that from the top they'll see clearly the rightness of their chosen way.
Well, there's someone there now, walking directly towards the edge.
He cannot see it.
But he'll fall.
Yes, he will.
Oh, he has! Oh, that's terrible! Terrible!
Yes, it is.
Let us show you another sight, one that may lift your spirits. Walk with us a little farther. We are now standing upon the hill clear.
Take this telescope. Put it to your eye. Well? Do you see the gates of the Celestial City?
Yes. Yes, I do. Well, at least I think I do. It's either the gates or something of the glory radiating from the place.
Oh, let me look. I think I see it too.
Keep that sight in mind to encourage you on your way.
You must take this map with you. It shows the only safe way ahead. Keep it safe and use it whenever you are uncertain where to go.
We will.
And another warning. Beware of those known as the deceivers who might cause you to leave the path.
Now, go on your way and Godspeed.
When I think how close we came to destruction when we fell foul of giant despair, oh, it makes me tremble. Oh, it looks as though we are going to have company on the road.
That's a very crooked road she's coming along. Oh. Hello, friend.
Hello to you both.
Where are you from and where are you going?
My name is Ignorance. I was born in the country of Conceit, which lies off the road a little way in that direction. And I'm going to the Celestial City.
How do you plan to get into the city when you come to the gate?
Oh, the same as other good people do.
Do you have something? A letter? A document of some sort? To show the doorkeeper so he'll let you in?
Mm-hmm. I've lived a good life. Prayed and fasted, given money to the poor, and have left my home to go to the City of Gold.
Regardless of what you think about yourself, the one who guards the gates to the Celestial City may not recognise you and think you're nothing but a thief and a robber.
What do you mean?
I mean that you came down that crooked lane back there. You didn't join this road at the narrow gate, did you?
That gate you talk about is a great way off from here. I can't believe that anyone even knows the way there. Nor do they need to. We've a fine, pleasant green lane that comes down from our country right into the road.
Then what makes you believe that you're on the right road?
Because my mind is filled with good thoughts that comfort me as I go along.
What sort of thoughts?
I think of the Celestial City and its king.
But so do the Lord Beelzebub and those who serve him.
But unlike them, I think of those things and desire to be a part of them.
Are you certain of that?
My heart tells me so. And isn't it a good heart that has good thoughts? And isn't it a good life that is lived according to the king's laws?
Some have those things and others only think they do.
Forgive me, but you are utter strangers to me. Follow the religion of your country and leave me to follow that of mine. And I'd hope that all will be well for all of us. Now, if you'll pardon me, I'd prefer my own company on the road.
Then we'll go on and wish you a safe arrival at the Celestial City.
I doubt that we'll see Ignorance again.
So do I. Oh, but look up ahead. The road forks in two. Which do we take?
Pilgrims. Pilgrims.
It's someone clothed in shining light.
I've met dazzling messengers such as her before.
My good pilgrims, why ever are you hesitating here at the crossroads?
Because we're not sure which road to take.
You have come so far on your way. Now is not the time to stop and dither, particularly when you are so nearly at your goal.
You know where we were headed?
Yes, and the right road to take you there.
Oh, then you can direct us to the Celestial City?
As an indication of the reward to be enjoyed by two faithful pilgrims who have momentarily lost their sense of direction, the king has personally sent me to lead you to his kingdom.
Oh, thank you.
You're very kind.
Something's wrong. This road is all twists and turns.
I can't even see if the Celestial City is ahead anymore.
I'm afraid. As if we were heading into some kind of danger. I'm caught! It's a net!
Right across the road!
Yes, a net to ensnare the unwary.
A coat of light! It's gone! Let us out!
Set us free! Who are you?
I am deceiver. And you are the deceived. How long you have followed your precious road to the Celestial City, and how easily you were lured from it. Now, my witless pilgrim friends, I must take my leave of you.
No!
Come back! Set us free!
Set you free, oh no. I will deceive you no longer. You have lost everything. Your pilgrimage is at an end. And it ends here. Farewell.
What fools we've been!
Caught in the net of our own stupidity.
What are we to do?
Somehow we must get free.
It's no good. The more we struggle, the tighter this net becomes.
Well, I can barely move. There's no way out.
Help!
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 What happened? How did you fall into this trap?
We've been deceived.
We thought we were following one of the king's messengers.
Ah, well, these roads are full of deceivers.
We're trapped!
No, no, stop struggling. Hold still. I can cut you free. There.
Thank you.
You've saved us. Now, we must get back on the right road.
Where are you headed?
The Celestial City.
Ah.
Why do you laugh?
Because I'm afraid you're on a tedious journey at the end of which you'll have nothing to show for your trouble.
Well, you think they won't let us in?
Let you in? Let you into the Celestial City? Believe me, there's no such place in the world.
Well, in the world to come, then.
We've both heard and believe that there is such a place.
So did I. Once. Otherwise, I wouldn't have come so far to look for it.
How long have you been looking?
20 years. And I've found nothing. And believe me, I would have found it if it was there to be found. Anyway, my days of looking are over. Now I'm going home to enjoy all those things that I threw aside when I set out on this foolish quest.
Is this true, do you think?
We saw the gates and the glory from the top of the Delectable Mountains. Don't listen to him.
You're right. Well, thank you for your help and your advice. But we intend to continue with our journey, for we believe that we walk in faith and that what we believe in is the truth.
Hey-ho. Very well, then. I'll be on my way. All I can wish you is better luck than I had.
What is your name, sir, in case we ever meet again?
I doubt we shall, but my name is Atheist. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, I thought we were almost at the end of our journey, and still we face difficulties.
We'd best go back to where the road forked and try another path. Come on.
Oh, look who's waiting for us.
Evangelist.
Christian. Hopeful.
Evangelist, we are so glad to see you. We have been very foolish.
Why did you take the wrong road?
We followed a woman who said she could lead us to the Celestial City.
And you believed her?
We thought she was one of the king's messengers.
But her real name was Deceiver.
Yes, but didn't the shepherds on the Delectable Mountains warn you about her?
Yes, we forgot.
We didn't imagine that such a fine-spoken person could be a deceiver.
That is why you were warned.
We only followed her because when the road divided, we weren't sure which road to take.
But didn't the shepherds give you a map?
Yes. Yes, they did. We forgot that, too.
We were wrong and very foolish.
From now on, be ever watchful. You are almost at your destination. But even though you are so near to the Celestial City, you could still fail. Now, be on your way, and Godspeed you to the City of Gold.
So, on they go, until the pilgrims come at last to a land where the sun shines day and night, where the air is sweet, and where the grass on either side of the road is carpeted with the most exquisitely fragranced flowers. This is the land of Beulah, and here the pilgrims are within sight of the city, the brilliance of which fills the sky. But directly before them flows the River of Death.
No one has ever told us anything about a river.
There are people on the bank, filled with light, dressed in gold. I can hardly look.
Too dazzling.
How could we have ever mistaken that deceiver for one of these?
Well then, you two. Oh. So, we meet again.
Ignorance.
Welcome, friends. You have only one more difficulty to overcome, and you are in the city. Only this river now lies between you and the gate to the city.
It looks deep.
You will find it deep or shallow, according to how much you believe in the King of the Celestial City.
Isn't there a bridge?
No. No bridge.
But
swim, and I have come all this way. What am I to do?
Perhaps I can be of help.
Who are you?
The ferryman. Vain hope, they call me. But better a vain hope than no hope, I say. Step lively there.
Well, is this safe?
If you sit still and don't fidget. Oh. Right, one-way trip to the Celestial City.
Careful! I'm getting splashed!
It looks as if ignorance will get there first.
Unless you swim this river, you will not reach the gates to the city.
The thought fills me with terror.
Come on, Christian, the last difficulty. Keep going. We can make it.
I'm sinking. Hopeful. I'm sinking.
Courage, Christian. You can't sink. I can feel the bottom. It's fine.
It's not. It's not. I'm going to drown.
Keep your head up. Don't let the waters drag you under. We're not far from the shore.
It's all dark.
Christian.
I'll never get to the city.
Don't give up. I can see the gate and more people dressed in gold waiting for us.
It's you they're waiting for, not me. You've been hopeful ever since I knew you.
So have you. Have you forgotten the Lord of the Hill? Or his cross where your burden fell from your back? The Lord who guided us through much darkness. Remember him now and you will not sink.
Oh, yes. I see him. He's speaking to me. I hear him. When you pass through the waters, I shall be with thee.
We're almost there, Christian.
Oh, yes. I can feel the bottom. It's shallow now.
Here, give me your arm. We're almost at the bank.
You have crossed the river of death and are come to the king's shore.
You have each of you a scroll.
Your papers, certificates, that were given you as a sign of your worthiness to enter the city.
Oh, yes, here is mine.
And mine.
You have faithfully followed your pilgrimage to its end. These papers shall be taken to the king.
Then will the gates be opened, and you will go in with joy. And see our Lord face to face.
Here you are. This is where you get off.
Well, I must say it looks as if I crossed that fearful river a lot easier than you two. And without getting soaked.
What business have you at the Celestial City?
The king's business. My name is Ignorance, and I've been told that I may go in and eat and drink with him and those who dwell in the City of Gold.
Have your scroll or certificate to show that you would be welcomed here?
Well, no. No, I don't. But you see, I was told quite clearly
Ignorance,
that
you have no place within the walls of the city, and its gates will not be open to you. Shining Ones, bind her and take her away.
Like Christian and Hopeful, I watch as they carry her up through the air to a door that opens in the very side of the hill beneath the city. The doorway to hell at the very gates of heaven. And there, Ignorance is cast in.
Pilgrims, the hill on which stands the City of Gold is before you now.
It's a very steep hill, and we are weary.
You will never be weary again, or sick, or sorrowful. All such things are left behind, washed away by the river, as were your mortal clothes.
But are we fit to enter without clothes?
You will be given white robes and crowns of gold to wear, and be clothed in glory and majesty.
Come.
Oh, but we will fall.
No, for we will support you.
Up they go, through the regions of the air, to the Celestial City. To the City of Gold, which stands upon foundations that are as old as time and higher than the highest clouds of heaven. And, reaching the outer walls of the city, they see a great company of the heavenly host coming to greet them with music and song.
Home! At last, you can go home.
Can this really be true?
His Majesty the King has issued some declaration or other, giving indulgence to religious criminals such as yourself, eh? Well, it may have taken 12 years, but at least you've the satisfaction of knowing that the King gave in before you did.
Home at last.
Yeah. 12 years. What a waste.
Huh?
12 years. Nothing to show for it but scribble, scribble, scribble. A terrible waste.
Oh, no, my friend. A wonderful gift.
All the struggles and hardships of our journey seem suddenly unimportant. See the words above the gate?
In letters of gold.
Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city.
Enter ye into the joy of your Lord.
Blessing, honor, glory and power be to the King forever and ever.
By the King's command, open the gates and make these pilgrims welcome.
The bells of the city ring out for joy, ring out in welcome.
Can this really be for us?
Yes, my dear companion. I believe it is.
So do I. Oh, we are here, my friend. We are here. At last. We have come home.
As the gates open to let in the pilgrims, I look in after them. And behold, the city shines like the sun. And the streets are indeed paved with gold. And walking there are many men and women with crowns upon their heads and golden harps on which to play sweet music in praise of the King. And at long last, Christian and Hopeful see the King, the Holy Lord and Master of the city, as he truly is. Then the gates swing shut. And having seen those who dwelt inside, I wished myself among them. So I awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Only my dream.
But one to be shared. Why is it not? Most dreams fade away, almost at the moment of our waking. But this...
Perhaps. Despite its many imperfections...
Such as the fate of his wife.
His wife?
Yes, Christian's wife. The woman you left to her doom in the city of destruction.
Yes, yes. What did become of her, I wonder?
And the children.
Perhaps someday I might tell that story too. How she...
Christiana, you could call her.
How Christiana and her children set out upon the dangerous journey to follow Christian and at last come safely to the same country, to the city of gold. Yes. Yes. Such an idea might make me dream again.
Part 3 of The Pilgrim's Progress starred Anton Rogers as Bunyan and Neil Dudgeon as Christian. Alec McCowan played Evangelist, Don Warrington Beelzebub, and Graham Crowden, Faithful. Caroline Lee Johnson was Elizabeth, Ewan Meredith, the jailer, and Derek Waring, the judge. Paul J. Metford played Hopeful, Stephen Thorne, Giant Despair, and Frances Jeter, Mrs. Despair. Chris Moran played Knowledge, Philip Fox, Sincere, and Damien Lynch was Experience. Rachel Atkins played Ignorance, Declan Wilson, False Confidence, and Cherie Taylor-Baptiste, Deceiver. The Angels were played by Jamie Barbakoff and Lydia Leonard. The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan was dramatised for radio by Brian Sibley. The music was composed by David Chilton, and the director was Pam Fraser-Solomon.
Well, next time in our drama hour here on 4Extra, young Ned Chester is set upon by a highwayman, but no one thinks that the attack might be connected to the violent murder of his beloved Emma's father. The murderer, 5 years ago, was assumed to be William Rudge, who has since disappeared without trace, leaving his wife and son Barnaby to fend for themselves. Charles Dickens takes up the story in our dramatisation of his novel, Barnaby Rudge, starting after the weekend.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 11 o'clock. Replacing our usual short story this morning, more from the BBC's Gay Britannia season, and today a chance to relive a key moment from Radio 4's The Archers, Ambridge's Wedding of the Year 2006. After that, it's back to the dangerous days of the 16th century as a group of men conspire to assassinate Queen Elizabeth I. The Babington Plot is in 15 minutes. First, though, get your best hat out. We're off to Ambridge shortly. Here's Ben Hunt.
And as we continue our season, marking the 50th anniversary of the Sexual Offences Act 1967, it's fair to say that gay marriage rights have come a long way over the past few decades. In 2015, voters in Ireland decisively chose marriage equality, making it the first country to do so through a ballot box. But for BBC Three's Queer Britain presenter and Irish YouTuber Riad Khalaf, the final outcome in the lead-up to the voting day was a complete unknown.
The whole country was polarised. You know, we really didn't know what was going to happen right up until that moment, that day in May. And we saw people fall out with family members. We saw people fighting, politicians. And then I was sort of this young voice of the vote, in a way, an accidental activist, I would call myself, because I have always been quite outspoken. And it just felt extremely personal, because in the media, on TV, on radio, and in particular on the streets, you'd see these posters everywhere for the no vote. And their sort of reasoning behind that was, someone please think of the children. A child needs a mother and a father. Wow. Two fathers or two mothers cannot, absolutely